Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We want to give a special welcome to any visitors that we have with us today, family and friends who've joined us. We want to welcome, too, anyone who may be worshiping with us online. We're glad that you're able to participate with us in this way. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we get started this morning, I've got just a couple of announcements that I should make. First, you'll notice, if you're looking in the bulletin, that we are starting to cycle things up here as we get into September and the fall, that Sunday school is coming soon. We've got some Bible studies starting up. So all that information is in the bulletin. Please be sure to check in on that. The big announcement for today is that today is the day of our congregational meeting to select a new elder and a new deacon. So we're going to have that meeting right after the service. It won't be a lengthy meeting. We just got to go through the process of voting and all that entails. So for our visitors, I'm a little bit sorry that today is not the greatest day. We won't have a ton of time to sit in fellowship. But if you can feel free to get some coffee after the service. We'll get our meeting done really quickly, and then we'll be happy to join you for some fellowship time. I think that covers announcements. Oh, Tessa's got an announcement.
All right. So I have an announcement on behalf of LifeWise Academy. So a while back we had a video about LifeWise Academy. It's the release time religious instruction, where we're going to be taking kids out of the public schools and being able to give them a Bible time. So I have a little bit of an update on that. We have started the board and we have decided on a time. So we are going to be taking first graders out of Cluckhone specifically right now, just as kind of a start to the program. And we're going to be meeting on Tuesdays from 12:15 to 1:30, starting in October at Rejoice. So we are basically looking for four different things. We're looking for volunteers to come in and be chaperones to help the teacher with the kids. And we're also looking for van drivers. So if you guys have any interest in doing that, you can just come and talk to me and I'll point you to the right place. We're also looking for people who would be interested in being on a fundraising committee, just to kind of get us backed on fundraising and stuff like that. And then also, too, we're looking for financial donors. We have to raise at least $1,500 for our initial startup costs, and as of right now, we're at $550. So if any of those things interest you guys, just come and talk to me, and I will direct you to the right place.
All right. Thank you, Tess. I told her that I would remember that, and then I didn't remember it. So it's a good thing that she's waving at me. All right, and with that, let's join into our time of worship together. Let's rise in body or in spirit. So please rise, and let's join in the reading. You can find it in the bulletins. It's also going to be up on the screen. God makes the sun rise and set. He makes summer and winter come and go. He is faithful from generation to generation. God helps plants grow and flowers bloom. He gives us food to eat, places to live, and people who love us. He is faithful from generation to generation. God is always with us. He keeps his promises to us. He is faithful from generation to generation. Let us praise our faithful God. Let's join in singing 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
People of God, our God has gathered us here, and now he gives us his greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. God's greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. You may be seated. The psalm writer prays, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." With similar openness and humility, let's confess our sins and seek God's leading together. This week, we're going to sing our prayer of confession. So let's join in singing, "Lord, I Need You."
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. People of God, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem his people from all their sins. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus calls us to follow him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's respond to God's forgiveness by singing praise to him. We'll join together in singing "That's Why We Praise Him." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. It's our privilege as God's people to come before him with prayers, prayers not only for ourselves, but also for the people and the world around us. I've got a few prayer requests that we should remember together. First, we've been praying for Jacob, Jerry and Mary's grandson. They found out this week that his surgery is scheduled for September 8th, so that's about a week and a half away. So we want to continue praying for the family and praying for successful surgery. We also want to continue praying for John Van Hill as he's been recovering from pneumonia and an infection in his arm as well. We also, too, want to pray for the Grigsby family. Alan's mother passed away earlier this week. So we want to pray for Alan and Laura and the whole family for comfort during this time. So let's keep those requests in mind together and join together in prayer. Almighty God, merciful Father, we pray that all who believe in Christ Jesus may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory to the world. Lord, as we pray for your church, we think especially today of our congregation. As it's time for us to select new council members, we pray that you would be at work. I pray that you would guide our elders and deacons and the work that they do and the leadership that they provide. I pray that you would help us all to grow together as a church in following you. We pray that you'd make your church throughout the world a powerful witness, that we would be people who live like Christ and who live according to the values of your kingdom. Help Christians not to fight amongst each other, but to see one another as brothers and sisters. Give us courage to seek out and submit to your truth as you reveal it in your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and the people of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. God, we pray for our senators and our representatives, that they would do what is right and good, both those who serve at the national level and those who serve here at our state level as well. We pray that you would bless the work of those who respond to others in need, those who are affected by war and disaster and sickness and famine. We pray that you would bless relief efforts and give strength and wisdom. We pray that work that is done in areas like business and science and art would produce things that promote the well-being of human beings and not just provide for financial gain for some. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all respect for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly and wisely for humanity's benefit and for your honor and glory. God, we pray that you would help us not to be wasteful with the things that you've given us, but to use them gratefully. We pray that you would direct those who care for animals and plants and forests, those who work with water systems and land, give them wisdom to do what is right and to provide for many. We pray that you would send us seasonable weather, rain and sun when needed, and temperatures that aren't too extreme. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely connected to ours, and empower us to serve Christ through serving them and to love one another as he loves us. Lord, following the example of Jesus, we pray that you would make us selfless and loving, loving even toward those who seem unlovable, those who do not love us. We pray that you would help us to bless others through our work and living. We thank you for the work that you give us and the talents and opportunities you provide. Lord, we pray this week especially that you would bless stay-at-home parents and homemakers and the work that they do, the work that we so often take for granted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles. Bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, we pray for the Grigsby family, for Alan and Laura and their children and other relatives too who mourn the loss of Alan's mother, Lois. We just pray that you would give them comfort, that you would be near and dear to them, that your presence would be clear in their lives. We pray for healing and strength for John. We pray that you'd give strength to Mary too as she cares for him. We pray for Jacob and his family that you would give them peace, that the surgery in the beginning of September would go well. We continue to pray for Michonne and Caitlin and their pregnancies. We pray that you'd keep mother and baby healthy and that everything would work out well. We pray for those who worry that their prayers are going unanswered, that you would show them your mercy in clear ways. We pray for those who are dealing with dashed hopes, that you would help them to find strength and rest in Christ. We pray for those losing their hearing, their sight, their mobility, their memory, that you would help them to find strength in you, that you would give them relief from their struggles. Finally, we pray for those who struggle with weak or damaged immune systems, that you would protect their health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful and loving God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people. Strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As part of our worship, we have the opportunity to give back to God with the giving of our offerings. As we take our offering this morning, we'll also have some singing together, and we'll sing, "My Soul Finds Rest." It's time for our children's message, so any kids that want to come forward, we can do that now, and we'll talk for a little while. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. Good. So I've got a couple questions for you before we talk about our Bible story. Do you guys ever end up in a place where you get kind of scared? You ever get scared? Yeah. Do you ever have to deal with something that just seems like it's too big? Like, yeah, somebody asks you to do something and it seems like it's way too hard? Maybe, yeah? Okay. What do you do when you feel scared or when you feel like you just can't do it? You don't know what you do? Uh-oh. Anybody? What do you think? What do you do when you get scared? Yeah? Maybe do you ask for help? Ask for somebody to help you, like your mom or your dad? Or do you pray and ask God to help you? Yeah, that's a good thing. So in our Bible story this morning, we're going to talk about a man named Jacob. And Jacob has a big problem. He doesn't have any food at home. And he's got some land where he would grow food, but there's not been enough rain. It's not growing any food. And he's hungry. And he doesn't know what to do. And he hears that there's food in another place. But the guy who's in charge of that place has been really mean to Jacob and his family. So Jacob doesn't know what to do. But what he does is he prays. And he asks God to help him. Because God is in control of everything that happens. And God is merciful. That means that God cares about us. He doesn't want us to be hurt or sad. God wants to take care of us. So when we get hurt or scared, when we feel like we just don't know how in the world we can get through something, we can pray to God because God is in control and God wants to help us. So we'll talk about that a little bit more with our sermon today. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your seats. In our sermons together, we have been in the book of Genesis. We have been following the story of Joseph and his brothers, and we are drawing close to the climax now. Joseph and his brothers have come back together. They've met each other. But Joseph has this distinct advantage that Joseph, after about 20 years, recognizes his brothers, but they don't recognize him. And so these interactions between Joseph and his brothers are playing out, and we're seeing how God is at work in the midst of all these very interesting human dynamics. So before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Lord God, show us your ways. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 43. We're going to read the whole chapter. That's verses 1 through 34. So picking up right where we left off last time, please feel free to follow along in your own Bibles or up on the screen. And again, we'll read Genesis 43, verses 1 through 34. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father, that's Jacob, said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you." Israel, that's another name for Jacob, asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, bring your brother down here. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You may hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go down to back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took the gifts and double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. We beg your pardon, our lord, they said. We came down here the first time to buy food. But at the place we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight, in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver to buy us food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, how is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, your servant our father is still alive and well. And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went to his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, serve the food. They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at one another in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. This is the word of the Lord. Life seems out of control for Jacob and his sons. Long ago, God made promises to bless Jacob and to be with him, choosing Jacob's family as God's own people. But the later years of Jacob's life have been difficult. Just over 20 years ago, Jacob's favorite son, Joseph, went off to check on his brothers and never returned. For nearly 2 years now, Jacob and his family have been struggling through severe famine. When Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to buy food a little while back, the governor accused them of being spies, and he kept one of the brothers back in custody. Now that food is gone, so Jacob tells his sons, "Go back, buy us a little more food." Judah, the leader of the brothers, the oldest one still on good terms with Jacob, speaks up. "The man who's in control of Egypt, he warned us strongly that we won't see him unless our youngest brother comes with us. If you'll send Benjamin along, we'll go right away. But if you still won't send Benjamin, we'll stay put." Jacob has been trying to keep Benjamin, the only full brother of long-lost Joseph, safe. "Why did you ever tell that man that you had another brother still at home? Just look at the trouble that it's brought me." Now, for years, the brothers have kept secret the fact that they sold Joseph as a slave. Haunted by guilt over that, they're quick to defend themselves here. "Hold up. The Egyptian interrogated us about our family. We just answered his questions. How could we possibly know he was going to tell us to bring Benjamin there?" Judah pleads with Jacob. "How the man responds to us if we go back with Benjamin? That's out of our control. But if we remain here, or if we go back without Benjamin, we will die. Not just you and us, but our little children too. Father, do what's best for our family. Send the young man with me. I personally promise to watch out for him. If anything happens to him, I will bear the blame before you for the rest of my life. But we cannot delay any longer." Reluctantly, Jacob agrees. He's got no other choice. Things are beyond his control. So first, Jacob does as much as he can. He instructs his sons, "Take some of the best products of the land. Balm, spices, honey, nuts, bring them as a gift for this governor. And don't forget the silver that was mysteriously returned in your sacks. Maybe that was a mistake. So take twice as much silver, bringing exactly what came back last time, as well as enough to buy more food. Take your brother too. Go at once." And then Jacob entrusts the whole situation to God. "May God Almighty grant you mercy before this man, so that Benjamin and your other brother may come back. If I lose my sons, I lose my sons. All we can do is trust God's mercy. Trust He's in control." In Egypt, Jacob's sons continue feeling like the circumstances are beyond their control. As they approach the governor, suddenly his house manager whisks them away to the governor's house. Totally caught off guard, the men fear the worst. This is about the money. He's dragging us into an enclosed space so we can have some men attack us, overpower us, make us his slaves. We're going to be helpless to stop all of this. So while the men are still out in the open, just outside the door of the house, they approach Joseph's manager. And they plead with him, "Please, sir, we really just came to buy food last time. On the way home, we found our money, and so we've brought it back here, along with more money, for more food. We don't know who put that money back in our sacks." Then the manager responds with unexpectedly comforting words. "Everything's fine. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, must have given you this treasure. Your silver got to me." Then he brings Simeon out of custody and shows warm hospitality to the brothers. But the confused men stay on high alert. Hearing that the governor will eat with them at noon, they anxiously get their gifts ready. Who knows how the governor will respond? But the governor, too, is shockingly friendly this time. "How are you all doing? How's your aged father? Still alive and well? Is this the youngest brother you've told me about? God be gracious to you, my son." At lunchtime, the surprises only continue. The brothers find that they're seated by birth order, all the way from oldest to youngest. They wonder, what is going on? How could the governor know such a thing? But the abundance of food and drink soon wipes away all their fears. The brothers certainly aren't in control. Things are going very, very well. Now, Jacob's sons do not understand what's going on, but God is in control of the whole situation, just as Jacob believed. The brothers don't realize it, but this Egyptian governor who's taken such an interest in them and their family is really Joseph, their long-lost brother. When the family needs food, God brings them to their very own brother. God has kept Joseph alive. God has raised him to power. God has blessed him with food to spare. Joseph has tested his brothers, tested them by ordering them to come back with Benjamin, tested them by returning their money to them. And the men have responded with honesty. So while Joseph doesn't fully reveal his identity yet, he does begin to tip his hand just a little bit. He does this by making sure to take care of all his family, by arranging his brothers from oldest to youngest, by showing particular concern for Benjamin, his own full brother. But Joseph doesn't totally seem done testing his brothers yet either. Joseph favoring Benjamin with so much more food than the rest of them seems to be a test. Will they be as envious of Benjamin's favoritism as they were envious of Joseph all those years ago? But once again, in the midst of all this, God is using Joseph to provide for the whole family. Jacob prayed that the governor would be merciful. And our text says that at the sight of Benjamin, God makes Joseph so warm and filled with mercy that he has to run away and weep. God is answering prayers. God is showing grace to his chosen people. Bit by bit, God is bringing the family closer together. God is taking care of them. God's people can have hope in the midst of this situation because God is in control. we need the assurance that God is in control. Because sometimes our lives seem out of control. Sometimes we deal with situations that are just beyond what we can control. Some problems seem too big to handle. Sometimes so many unexpected little things pop up that we get overwhelmed. We each have limitations. We deal with lots of things that are unpredictable. Technology and its random errors, the weather that we can't predict, other people, who knows what they're going to do? It's clear that there's a lot in life that we just can't know or determine the outcome of. We might feel like we're in a fog, unaware of what's ahead. We can apply for a job and prepare for an interview, but the hiring decision is out of our hands. We can try to keep an emergency fund set aside, but if a cylinder in our car's engine breaks, or if we suddenly need our appendix removed, we can still end up over our heads. When a close friend receives a cancer diagnosis, we can't fight for them. We can't determine how effective their treatment plan will be. When we're heading home, we can't know if there's going to be a drunk driver or black ice on the road. Whether we wrestle with difficult people or personal problems or just unfortunate events, we can easily feel powerless, stuck. When we deal with things beyond our control, we often have to fight frustration, even despair. We wrestle with worries and fears. We can long for a reason to have hope, something to give us the confidence to keep going. When my daughter Mia was born, I felt flooded with situations that were beyond my control. A few days before Mia's birth, Tess had a routine checkup that turned into an overnight stay in the hospital because of trouble with her blood pressure. But that shock was only the beginning. The day that Mia was born felt completely out of control. A very troubling ultrasound soon turned into a team of doctors and nurses frantically telling us that the baby had to be delivered as soon as possible, even though the due date was still 7 weeks away. For a little while, I was left alone while Tess was being prepped for surgery. Totally overwhelmed with anxiety, I started weeping. It just seemed like too much. Before long, I was back with Tess. We received the good news that Mia was out and alive. But our happiness came with a whole bunch of concern. Mia had to go to the children's hospital, almost 2 hours away. The next few days were miserable. Tess was in one hospital, and Mia was in another one. There was nothing that I could do for either of them. Lainey couldn't come visit anyone because she had a cold. I felt drained, helpless, terrified. I had no idea if or when Mia would come home. Everything was out of my control. We can feel like things are out of control, but God is always in control. In the Bible, God reveals himself to us as a God who is never surprised, never overwhelmed, a God who has authority over all things. God created and upholds the world. He doesn't leave anything that happens to chance. All things happen according to God's permission and God's will. He has a plan. Many of us believe this on some level, even many people who really aren't Christians. When everything in our lives seems out of control, prayer comes so naturally to us. We turn to God. Turn to God as the one who sees through the fog, the one who can help us and lead us through. As sinful and imperfect people who live in a broken and fallen world, we're going to experience pain and sorrow and evil. But God gives us hope. He assures us that He is always aware, always active, always concerned for us. Believing that God is in control of all things takes faith. It's not something I can scientifically prove to you. But God's Spirit works in our hearts to produce faith. And God gives us reasons to trust Him. He shows His mercy, His grace, His faithfulness in our lives. God was in control at the time of Mia's birth and in all the surrounding days. He showed me and my family His grace, His mercy. You see, God had used Tessa's unexpected hospital stay to make sure the doctors ordered her to come back on that day that Mia had to be born. God made certain that the medical team caught the fact that Mia was in serious danger. God answered our frantic, desperate prayers that our baby would survive the emergency C-section. When Tess and I first heard Mia cry, we shed tears of joy and gratitude that God had been so good to us. God's mercy in Mia's birth encouraged me to rely on Him during the miserable days of uncertainty that followed. It took a few days, but God brought enough healing to Tess that she could be discharged from the hospital, come down by Mia and me. It took maybe a week, but God helped Lainey recover so that she can meet her baby sister. In grace, God used what had seemed like an undesirable move to the back of the hospital to give us the peace and quiet we needed. In faithfulness, God provided loved ones, checked in on us when we needed it. After a lot of long weeks, God answered all our prayers by enabling Mia and all of us to come home safely. Now look, God didn't show us mercy and grace because our troubles were better or worse than other people's troubles. God certainly didn't answer our prayers because we deserved it. We didn't. God acted this way because this is the kind of God He is. An attentive, compassionate, trustworthy God. All our situations maybe won't work out so neatly. And in the heat of the moment, God's mercy and grace may not be so evident. But God helps us to rely on Him. God encourages us to pray with trust. God helps us to see every helping hand, every step toward health, every timely meal, every unexpected blessing, every good thing as a sign of His mercy, His grace. Most of all, and most importantly, God gives us reason to trust that He is merciful and gracious and in control through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the exact representation of who God's being. Jesus shows us exactly who God is. And so throughout His life, Christ showed power and mercy by controlling the natural world, by healing the sick and suffering, by befriending outcasts, even raising the dead. Jesus proved His grace and His concern for us by forgiving sinners, by sacrificing Himself to take away all His people's sins. Christ's resurrection testifies that He is stronger than even death, that nothing can stop Him from saving His chosen people. When we face situations that are beyond our control, God assures us he is in control. God proves his character. God gives us hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our healer. God encourages us to trust in him by showing us his mercy and his grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, so much of life is beyond our control. We can feel so frustrated, so afraid, so powerless. So help us to find hope in you. Increase our trust that you are in control of all things. Give us confidence in your mercy and grace because of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who demonstrates your authority and love. Help us see your goodness in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's respond in faith and proclaim what we believe using the words of the Belgic Confession, Article 13. The words are on the screen. They'll be in the bulletin. Please join me in this reading. This doctrine of God's providence gives us unspeakable comfort, since it teaches us that nothing can happen to us by chance, but only by the arrangement of our gracious Heavenly Father, who watches over us with fatherly care, sustaining all creatures under his lordship, so that not one of the hairs on our heads, for they are all numbered, nor even a little bird, can fall to the ground without the will of our Father. In this thought we rest, knowing that God holds in check the devils and all our enemies, who cannot hurt us without divine permission and will. Let's also respond to God by singing his praise. We're going to sing together, Mighty to Save. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Don't forget, we have our congregational meeting right after the service here. But as we come to the close of our worship service, Jesus sends us forth to live for Him in this new week. God has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And know that God sends us forth with His blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.